What a day. Opening day. And a good day for the Gamecocks on the baseball field yesterday. That's a good way to start out the season, huh, Jen?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the Cubs theme song that we always play?
We don't need the Cubs theme song to start this morning.
Oh, go Cubs, go?
Yeah. You still got that on cue in there? Let's get that in here at some point today.
I don't just have it. I don't want to take advantage of my position and,
You have my permission.
Since when?
now that I think about it, I think Chicago has the best, theme songs. Would I be right? Because I like the Blackhawks, too, when they score a goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going Super Bowl Shuffle on me.
That one, too. Chicago's a creative town. I mean, yeah, I can see that.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what other town are you comparing it to?
Others. Plenty of other ones.
Really?
New York? Isn't that aren't the Yankees your team?
Loved them. How about that yesterday?
What was the score?
We won.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good start. Man, I was at Taste of Lake Murray last night. I went to that Taste of Lake Murray last night, and it was a really good time.
It seems like too classy of an event for you.
If Michael Jordan came back out of retirement yesterday, I would not know it right now.
Okay, fair enough. Tell us then about Taste of Lake Murray.
It was great, man. It had
because
a bunch.
It wasn't just like everybody scooping cups of water out of the lake, was it? That doesn't sound good at all.
Two really good bands. Tokyo Joe was out there last night, and Men of Distinction.
Okay, what was your favorite? What was your favorite cover? What'd you get into? Do a little REO Speedwagon singing along?
Tokyo Joe. Yeah, I do think there's probably some singing that took place. I know there was some dancing that took place.
How many times did you extend your arms above your head, sir?
Oh, well, what happened late? Oh, they took a break, and there was back-to-back Bruno Mars songs.
Mm-hmm.
I might have gotten into the Bruno Mars. One lady looked at me and was like, man, you've watched the video.
Oh, no.
I had the Bruno Mars going. I know.
Okay, it's one thing just to have your own moves, but then to be emulating the
video.
Which
one was it? Which song?
I think it was 24 Karat.
Okay, we'll get that going later today. Uh-huh. It's Friday.
That was really neat. They have a bunch of different restaurants. My good friend Mike Creech from Wings and Ale, who I was out there a couple weeks ago doing that celebrity, boy, is that in quotations, chili cook-off. And
where you may or may not have been singing along to some REO Speedwagon and been called out for it via
the
Twitter.
I don't know what that was. Like I was very tame. I had my kids with me there at the Wings and Ale a couple weeks ago for the chili cook-off. I was very tame that particular day. I'm not sure what. I think somebody mistaked somebody else that is good looking.
Oh, you're saying this is mistaken identity?
At the Wings and Ale?
You couldn't have just been singing along a little REO Speedwagon while you're sitting out?
I think I was trying to herd kids. On that particular day. But last night, there was definitely some singing, a little bit of dancing. It was a really good time.
And what did it benefit? What was the purpose of
it? It's for the fireworks. I know what it's for.
Nicely
done. You guys act like I just show up at things like, hey, food and drink, huh? I'm here.
I think you've kind of mentioned that before.
That's kind of how you do the show.
Kind of like Costanza in Seinfeld. Food, drink, me? We had a good time. It was a really neat time last night at the Taste of Lake Murray and for a good cause. But they put on the fireworks and for the week. I think it's the 30th this year. I believe June 30th, that's Saturday.
Well, your New York Yankees, a 6-1 winner over Justin Smoke's Toronto Blue Jays, 6-1, the same score for the Gamecocks. Big win last night. Adam Hill back on the mound after missing a start, goes 5 hitless innings. 72 pitches. We'll let you hear from Mark Kingston about the theory about having his ace back on the mound after missing the Georgia series with shoulder tendonitis, but that certainly set the tone, as did some sloppy play from Tennessee early on. They didn't get the benefit of a called third strike in the first inning, and then they walked the guy, had him picked off, then threw it away at second base. The Gamecocks ended up taking advantage of these mistakes. There was a ground ball to third. They didn't make a play. So, again, Carolina got about 5-6 outs there in the first inning. They came away with a 2-out walk with the bases loaded to score the game's first run, and then a big 2-out hit from Riley Hogan, a guy, one of several guys, getting his chance in the lineup because of injuries to really the top three hitters of the season so far this season, and T.J. Hopkins and Madison Stokes. Also, who else is out that I'm leaving out there? Noah Campbell at the top of the lineup with an injured finger. I didn't realize he got injured while he was just taking a little extra BP from a machine, and a ball got away or got a little more movement to it, and he was kind of trying to work on his bunting, and I guess the ball hit his finger, and that's kind of summed things up for the Gamecocks so far this year. But last night, things did bounce their way. Got a little sloppy there towards the end, but still a 6-1 dominant win in Game 1 against Tennessee. That makes it 9 in a row, I believe, for the Gamecocks against Tennessee, and Tennessee still looking for their first win in Columbia since 2012. Game number 2 set for tonight, 7 o'clock, assuming things will dry out at that point. And then you'll have the series finale tomorrow set for 2 o'clock, same day as spring football. We got a lot to get into from that standpoint. Busy day in the big leagues yesterday. What are you smirking at?
Man, it's going to be a great weekend. You're right. You talk about the weather, and you say it's supposed to – the meteorology report for today is that it's supposed to stop raining.
Say fake meteorology, at least. People actually
this
have...
This is not fake. This is from the security guard in the lobby. He told me that the rain is supposed to clear out by noon.
Did he have his AMS seal out there? Is he displaying that proudly while he's giving you the report?
No, we were talking about it because I got to finally wear shorts into work this morning because Tim does look very professional, by the way. If we take a picture of what we look like today, it's really a microcosm of the way the show pretty much goes. Tim looks very professional.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the button-down shirt. He's got the slacks on. He looks very nice. Dress shoes. I got on shorts and flip-flops and a pullover and a shark tooth necklace.
Oh, you are donning the shark
buddy.
Tooth necklace today.
Bringing it back. Okay. My 60-year-old uncle said, "Viva la shark tooth necklace."
Is he from Mexico?
He's from New York, but wherever. He lives in Florida now. He's one of those guys.
Wouldn't you just want to be a fly on the wall at one of these Gunter events, you know?
You guys.
I think we get the best
well,
of.
Well, that's true.
You guys
I'm good with
not
the
make
version.
You wouldn't make it more than 10 minutes at one of those events.
No doubt. Also, speaking of outside-the-box stuff that we'll have fun with on a Friday show, have you seen the latest on Les Miles? It made me smile and shake my head at the same time, and it's completely unsurprising while surprising at the same time as well. I'll give you the details on that, and I think you'll find it interesting as we move on this morning, and it probably pertains to all of us, because Les Miles, in a weird way, I think is like everyone while he's completely different than anyone that's ever lived on the planet.
True.
I think he has a lot in common with most of us. Right now, I wanted you to hear a little bit from Mark Kingston after last night's 6-1 win, where ace Adam Hill returns from shoulder tendonitis, goes 5 innings, no hits.
Yeah, it's great to have Adam Hill back there tonight. I think a team has a lot different mindset when they've got their big guy out there doing what Adam does for us. So I thought that set the tone for us, gave us a little bit of our edge back, and 5 innings, no hits, I think that speaks for itself.
What he said right there reminded me of, it's weird how certain things stick with you, right? Memory is a weird thing, but I remember very distinctly walking into Founders Park. At that time, it was just still Carolina Stadium, I believe. And this was one of the first few times I walked in. It was basically brand new. And I remember a Gamecock fan saying, yeah, this team's pretty good when one specific guy is pitching. You want to guess who the pitcher was at that point? And he said, otherwise, it's not so good. They're pretty good when he's pitching. Otherwise, they're not so good. Play along as you're heading in to work or school maybe this morning, up early, just getting around, getting into the routine maybe, just getting to the shower.
See, now you got to – I'm trying to – the.
Who do you think it would be?
Mental Rolodex is trying to go back. What, Founders Park's been open 8 years?
Right at it, a little bit more.
9 years, so I'm going back to 2009, 2000.
Right in there. You're right in the right time period. What's going through there? Let's hear some. This is not like you to be silent on the thought process.
Well, sir. I'm trying to.
Does that
to think
mean there's
of,
nothing in there right now?
I'm trying to think of. Hey, don't shake your head like that, Jen.
I think there's a little beer resin and.
No, I'm not planning on anything. It's just what happens. I was pulling my Chris Pratt last night, just drinking Michelob Ultra, keeping the calories down.
He gets paid to do that.
No, I was having a good time. I was kind of thinking, I was trying to, all right, so in trying to play along with your trivial game here, the second segment early on, it would be, it have been a time when South Carolina wasn't as good. They had
what
one
a
good
filibuster
pitcher.
This is. What a filibuster.
I was going to go somewhere like a Mike Sisko or...
Okay, that was a little earlier than this. So okay. This happened a little later. Mike Sisko are already gone.
I'm trying to think of when they're...
good guess.
I give up.
Excellent guess.
Who you got?
Sam Dyson.
Okay.
Was the name.
Ah.
So this was before Blake Cooper, I think, became an All-American at that point. But I remember specifically, it was like a group of Gamecock fans going into the new park. And it's like, yeah, this team is not very good. But when Sam Dyson's on the mound, it's a good team. And Adam Hill seems to be that standout guy for the Gamecocks this year, certainly outside his opening day start. After that, he's been fantastic last night right there as well. Hitless five innings. Didn't quite have the strikeout stuff that he's had before, but certainly anytime you have a start, you don't give up a hit, you leave with a 6-0 lead, that's exactly what your team needs. And the Gamecocks get the win and make the first very small step to try to dig their way out of the hole they've already dug for themselves with a 1-5 SEC start and 2-5 now, 15-11 on the season. Tennessee was coming off a weekend sweep against Alabama, so they had won four in a row. Their momentum was going the other way, but that completely stopped in the first inning where they kicked it around a bunch and gave the Gamecocks extra outs. Fortunately for Carolina, they turned a recent trend around as well, where they had not taken advantage of those opportunities. Riley Hogan doing it with a base hit to bring home a couple of runs. Chris Cullen drawing a walk with the bases loaded to bring in the game's first run. So that gave them a 3-0 cushion. And you feel like specifically for this team at this point, an early lead where the other team kind of helped you out a little bit was exactly what this team needed. And having your ace on the mound certainly helped out a bunch. And Carolina getting solid work out of the bullpen. It did get a little sloppy late, as I mentioned. It was one of the weirder things I've ever seen. In college baseball, LT Tolbert goes out, catches a relatively routine pop fly, goes to throw it to his buddy Justin Rowe there at second so he can get it to the pitcher, except he throws it away. And no one's backing up, so the runner on first goes all the way to third, and a wild pitch brings him in for the game's only run. But if there's only one run, then you're in good shape, and it's a 6-1 Carolina win going into two chances now to close out their first SEC series victory in more than a calendar year. Mark Kingston also touching on that after the ball game. We'll let you hear from that as we move on this morning. Wanted to move on for you as well. Now we got the spring game going on tomorrow at Carolina, and what we're going to see, we have, I don't think, high expectations necessarily from the Garnet and Black game because of the way that Will Muschamp structures things here in the spring. There will be a lot of newer faces out there, more than we've ever seen, I guess, for a spring game, Bill, with 13 new enrollees. Will Muschamp, that's a high for him, and I think a high for South Carolina. That's just kind of where college football has gone. What we'll actually get to see from these guys, and we understand the tempo has picked up with Dan Werner joining the offense and Brian McClendon moving to offensive coordinator, but how much exactly we'll see from Carolina on the differences, we're all expecting, I think, minimal because Will Muschamp does not like to tip his hand at all.
Yeah, tomorrow, I think tomorrow is all about going and seeing. If you're going, it's going and seeing the younger players, the new players, maybe DeCarrion Joyner or seeing Deshaun Fenwick or, Rosendo Lewis at linebacker. Because I'm with you. I expect to see a very vanilla offense, really a very vanilla defense. I feel like this is almost going to be a Pro Bowl-esque type strategy out there. No blitzing and no anything significant offense. I don't even know how much. Maybe they show tempo a little bit just to get people excited early on and see how the team does handling it in that environment. But I'm with you. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot tomorrow, and that'll be fine. That's no problem. But I am interested in seeing these young guys. I want to see a redshirt player in Jay Urich go out there and how he throws the football and how DeCarrion Joyner looks as well. I want to see, I've mentioned him several times, Deshaun Fenwick, who's the young running back, and how he kind of carries the ball and how he looks. And some of the other guys like that, I think it's going to be kind of fascinating. We'll see a guy like MJ Webb, who was a big-time recruit 2 years ago for Will Muschamp and enrolled early and actually went through bowl practice getting ready for the Birmingham Bowl, but still redshirted last year. And so it's a lot of young players that you maybe are going out tomorrow to watch and see and get a feel for how they perform and how they can impact the team. And it should be a lot of fun. It should be a great day. And give you a chance to experience a little football for a very important baseball game.
Former Carolina coach Steve Spurrier in town today for a charity golf tournament. Maybe he will take in the spring game. Another guy who kind of on the same career path, I guess, Les Miles leaving the SEC about the same time as Steve Spurrier. Have you seen the latest on Les? This is amazing. There's an article out of the Baton Rouge Advocate talking about Les Miles' most recent forays, professional aspirations. Most coaches, like Les did last year, go into television after the coaching thing doesn't work out. And Les Miles says he still wants to be a head coach, 65 years old. His name did pop up the year after or the months after LSU let him go as a possibility. Houston, I remember specifically, got jobs kind of like that. Not maybe the highest level of jobs, but right underneath Les Miles, you would have thought a solid candidate. Solid track record, man. They tried to get rid of him at LSU one year, and they rallied down the stretch and couldn't do it, basically. And then they finally figured out a way to do it. And surprisingly to me, and I think a lot of people out there, ended up having Ed Orgeron, as it looked like they were trying to get Jimbo Fisher the whole time.
Right.
Something must have fallen apart, and they end up settling for Ed Orgeron. And the long-term future for LSU football, in a lot of people's opinions, not nearly as bright as it would have been otherwise. But Les Miles, instead of concentrating just on getting back into football or just doing the TV thing, now he wants to be a legit actor.
Of course he does.
A movie actor. That is the correct response, Jen. Not what Bill just said. Your quizzical, very questioning look.
He's got money. He's got plenty of money.
No doubt about that.
When you have plenty of money, you can do what you want to do, and you can take time out and try and go. Now, the question is, does he need to take acting lessons, or is this just something you show up on set?
Are he and Rob Gronkowski going to both be in a movie
question.
Together?
Dad. Maybe he could be Gronk's dad, right?
There you go.
I like this. I like where we're going with this. And then have Terry Bradshaw in there as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
In Failure to Launch.
Well, then I could see Les and Bradshaw doing like a buddy cop movie, right?
That'd be pretty good. I like that. See where you see?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're scheming already. The minds are working here. The hamsters are all running this morning, and we're coming up with good ideas already.
I see the millions rolling in by next week.
Les has already landed a role as a cop in a movie, and he has a line.
Has one line that's important.
You know what the line is?
Donuts?
No. This is a serious. He wants to be a serious actor, okay? None of this. Just give me, he said he actually played himself in one movie as well, and he didn't like that. Like, as a football coach, the kind of thing. He didn't,
wasn't a powerful role.
That's not what he's looking for, man.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think what movie he played himself in. Did he play himself?
No, this is a recent small one. Like, it's come, I think it might still be set to come out or something.
It was like,
I was trying to think of The Blind Side, if he was in there.
Mm-hmm. He might have been, but
he wasn't.
This is a different one.
Saban shows up trying to recruit him in his LSU gear.
Played an Oklahoma State football coach in a 2014 movie as well. Like, this is not what he's looking to do. He played, and I've retweeted the article, by the way, from the Baton Rouge Advocate, and it's got a picture. I'm laughing because it's got the picture of him dressed up as a cop. And I think it's the hair that cracks me up, because clearly he was letting it go gray at one point, and then he's gone the way to, like, the hair matches the dark uniform. I'm just not buying it.
Mm.
Let me see if I can get you the exact line he's got in the movie, because it's pretty fantastic. And it made me think of, if I had to have one line in a movie, like, what would it be? Like, Les Miles, he comes across as a pretty believable cop. Here's the line. Sir, I'm going to need you to step back.
It's a good start. That's a good start. It's a good starting spot right there for him. You can go up from that.
So
you're not maxing out in that career right there on that line.
No. And like Katie Couric had that one line in Austin Powers. She was an officer in the jail.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys, time's up or something. That was her big. So, okay. Maybe his future's coming.
It's a good. Les Miles' best role needs to be College Game Day. He is one of the few. And I don't really off the top of my head know.
Corso basically is an actor, right?
Yes.
He's a performer.
We've talked about that. I love watching. I don't tune in to College Game Day to listen to Lee Corso give me a breakdown. Yeah, but some people get so angry about it.
That's true.
Like, they get
Maybe here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Especially here in Columbia, South Carolina. But some people get so angry. Corso knows nothing. Well, look, I do think he has some sports knowledge. Maybe unfortunately because of his health, it's not like it was. But
some sports knowledge. The guy was a major college football coach, man. He played major college football at Florida State.
You believe
some
everything he says?
No, but I understand he's putting on a show for us. I'm just saying his sports knowledge compared to the casual observer is off the chart.
But like you agree with me that like out there when you look across the board, I've seen some people say, "Oh, Spurrier needs to take that." Steve Spurrier would never play that role that Lee Corso provides, right?
Right.
Like you got a million people who can David Pollock and Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howe. You got a million. People want to go in and be the serious, sporty sports guys
right.
and give you the hot
like
takes.
Nick Saban would never be that guy.
Right.
I could see Les Miles being that
But he
guy.
Could go in and he could offer knowledge and be funny and maybe do something and get the end where he makes a prediction. And so I think that that's the perfect role for him. And I think he also, with his personality and attitude, would bring something to that set when Corso retires. But I like this. Good for Les Miles. You go be an actor, man.
Like, the story has him, I guess there's a former LSU baseball player who has been a relatively legit actor for a while, and it says they like, run lines with each other, they audition, they tape themselves, and they send them off.
Oh, like
the whole thing.
He's
That's
in,
where
man.
Les Miles is right now,
he's
baby.
He's just not throwing out the big-time card and saying, I'm Les Miles, I need to be in your movie. He's practicing, doing all the little things you got to do to be successful.
Taking classes. Sir, I'm going to need to step back. That's a great line.
Tell you what, the way Tim Hill says it, too. We might want to keep an eye on Tim. Maybe that's why he's all dressed up
here. I could never be a cop. I don't have the cop look, right?
He's got...
That would not be my first role, for sure.
I don't know. I'd say...
No, I get that. Sometimes people tell me that, I guess, Blacklist, that's a show.
Oh,
I think there's a villain on there that people say that... I think it might be the glasses. I have the same kind of glasses as...
Oh, her husband. Yeah.
Got me.
Tom. Yep.
Poor guy.
I'll send you a picture.
If he looks like me, poor guy. But so now we're going to try to come up with, we'll do it next segment for Jen, Bill. What would be the one role Jen should play in a Hollywood movie? And then we have to give her a line as well.
All right.
The Frank's Discount Tire poll question, put it out on Twitter as well. What's your way too specific perfect movie role? Did you come up with a scenario for Jen in a movie? Like I asked, you got nothing? What role? What role is the perfect movie role now that Les Miles is trying to get into acting? We're going to do this for everybody this morning. We're starting with Jen.
I think that, it's got to be kind
what
of...
role?
It's a comedian, comedic type role, right?
Okay.
Are you with me on this, or are you just going to agree with whatever I say?
I've got one.
If I called her a James Bond villain, are you going to agree
with this? I'm going to read you mine. I think mine is good. I think mine
is perfect. Oh, you've already
got one? Yeah.
Okay.
I've done my work for this segment.
Not going to lie to you.
Okay, you
honestly,
got
that's a little scary.
Yeah.
What's that?
Now we know what Tim was doing last night.
Right,
Tim was sitting there just cackling as he was writing up our movie roles. Yeah, like you just sitting there. His wife's probably looking at him where he's just sitting there with his glass. This is that villain that somebody just tweeted in at us, and he was just sitting there laughing. And
so, Jen, do you have an ideal role in mind for yourself? Have you ever pictured yourself in a particular role?
Something that involved like driving. You
okay.
know, driving fast.
I've worked that into mine, but not quite the same. So, in my opinion, clearly Jen Jensen is perfect to play the sassy mom secretly getting revenge for her Hollywood high school daughter who did not get the invite to the post-prom party for the cool kids. And the line is, you think you're cool? This is cool. As you hose down the hood of Johnny Quarterback's Camaro. If you don't think that's Jen Jensen.
Holy, that's actually really good.
It's really scary.
It's really good and also shows you how much time he devoted to it. I wasn't going to come up with anything close to that.
It took 3 minutes, man. I did it in the break.
For TV guy, you know.
Yeah, did it during the break.
Yeah.
Maybe I've always wanted to be a casting director.
Well, that could be. That could be a future.
So
gotta
she
have that
is
back
the,
up to radio.
What did you say? The sassy mom trying to get revenge.
No, secretly getting revenge. She didn't try anything. I think if we know anything about Jen, she doesn't try to get revenge. She will get it.
Okay. All right, I'm with you. Okay. And then her line is, you think this is cool.
No, you think you're cool?
You're cool. This is cool.
This is cool.
And she's hosing down the hood of his Camaro?
Yeah, because she also knows a lot about cars and knows in cold temperatures, where most proms obviously happen, it's not good for the car, right?
He put so much work into this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, way too specific role. That was way too specific. I'm interested in hearing what we're going to come up with, Bill.
My contribution to the show this morning was showing up wearing a shark tooth necklace.
And that's what we do.
Strong.
It's like, if we take a picture later, it just pretty much breaks down what the show is. Tim dressed immaculately this morning. Hair looks good. Dressed like he's ready to go to a business meeting. If there was a beach behind us, I would look like I fit
perfect.
In.
A lot of casting sessions later on today. Have you come up with your role there outside of Ted 3? Do you have one for us? You're going to give it to us? You're going to let everybody else
pile
in first?
You guys need to, I'll take suggestions and then I'll give mine.
Les Miles, actor, Baton Rouge Advocate, has the story. If you want to go check it out, I've retweeted it. But apparently, he crossed paths with Tom Cruise here recently, too. Yeah. And they talked for hours. Apparently, Cruise is a big football fan, or at least that's how this thing reads. And Les Miles is a big fan of acting now. The one line that he has given in a movie as a police officer, Les Miles delivering the, "Sir, I'm going to need you to step back." Let's get out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Ray, what do you think? Bill Gunter as?
Bill Gunter as founder in Animal House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Do you have a specific line you see him executing?
Hey, and the ideal role for Les Miles is the Frankenstein monster in Young Frankenstein.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Just. You don't want him talking a whole lot.
All right. I can see that. Les has the strange cadence, right? He'll have these weird pauses, and then he'll come up with a bunch of enthusiasm all of a sudden out of nowhere and freak people out a little bit.
And when he does, he makes stupid statements.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you,
Ray. Hey, wait a minute. Why flounder? Is he still there? All of a sudden dawned on me, because as I was going through, and I love Animal House, would you rather be Flounder? Because I feel like if all of a sudden I can't remember John Belushi's character.
Because it's just John Belushi. I know that's not the name of the character. I get.
I know
that,
what's his name. What's his?
People are yelling right now at their radios. I don't.
All of a sudden, I love that movie. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that I don't know John.
Isn't it like Bluto?
I think
Bluto.
It was Bluto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would you like? All of a sudden, he said Flounder. Flounder was kind of timid and.
I think he was the likable, sensitive guy.
I think that's
where you're going. That's what you're trying to lobby for. I thought this sensitive
guy.
I'm
with you. All right, just checking.
Let's hear what Boudreaux has to say this morning. This should be interesting. Good morning, Boudreaux.
Good morning, gentlemen. Look here. I kind of like to play Dr. Watson in a Sherlock Holmes movie. I'd rather be Sherlock Holmes, but hell, I'd have to lose a whole bunch of weight to be Sherlock Holmes. I can keep a little pad and still be Dr. Watson. I'd play him like old Marion Crawford did back there in the 60s in that British TV show of Sherlock Holmes. And that's what I'd like to do. I done got me a line made up for him, see?
Okay, wait a second. I'm confused. Are you going to go into a British accent, or are you going to be the Cajun Dr. Watson? I don't understand.
Oh, no. I'm going to do it like it belong to be done, you know, like they talk over there on the other side of in England there.
I feel like you've worked on this way, way too much. But let's hear the line.
Oh, boy.
Boudreaux as Dr. Watson.
Good heavens, Holmes. How could you possibly believe that Lady Jennifer is responsible for the murder of those two blokes at the radio station?
Well done, sir. I see what he did there.
That guy could be an actor.
What do you mean could be?
You don't think that's really him?
Hey, and
you guys don't think he calls us from a tractor every morning?
I'm a little concerned that we died in that scenario.
I would never be responsible
but
for that.
Surprised that ultimately our undoing came at the hands of one Jen Jensen.
Well, Ray called and did want to clarify that he was beating you as Flounder because he sees you more as a lovable sidekick and not the leading man. That was kind of his thing.
You're taking that as a compliment, aren't you?
I was trying to deliver it as one.
We like you, but here's the back of my hand across your face. Enjoy that one.
Brandon weighs in. He says he sees himself as a Jason Statham type driver, but with bad directional awareness. It's a solid premise. I like where he's going with that.
Obviously, it's well documented. The last 10 series in the SEC haven't gone our way, but you can't think about that. You just come out tomorrow, you prepare in BP and infield, and you go out to win that ball game, period. As an athlete, as coaches, you can't get distracted with those kinds of things. You just have to focus on what you're doing at the field. How's that for coach speak?
Nailed it. Mark Kingston after the 6-1 win last night. To me, that sums him up pretty well right there. Intense, right? Gives you the on message,
right?
And then doesn't take himself too seriously at the end of that thing.
Yeah, I do like that. He is, you know, we talked about it a little bit when he was hired. This is a new, coaching baseball is not new to him. The media scrutiny, probably, I would imagine Tampa radio maybe accidentally mentioned South Florida's run once last year. Like, hey, did you guys know South Florida's playing? For Mark Kingston here, this we talk about this job, it's the baseball job is more scrutinized than, what, 98% of the rest of college baseball, 99%? I mean, LSU, even a place that just won the national championship, they really don't care. Now, I don't know if you saw that. They're going to build a new stadium, and it's going to be an expensive new stadium.
Talking about Gainesville and Florida, right?
But they don't. Right now, they're far more worried about what Emory Jones is doing and how he's progressing for Dan Mullen, or what if Kyle Trask is going to beat out.
Well, there's so many other options. You got the Marlins. You got the Rays. If you're in Florida for baseball, if you're in South Carolina for baseball, you don't have those local options in the big leagues.
I get what you're saying with that. I still think you had so many people here grow up on the Braves. Mm-hmm. They're huge Braves fans. I think what you have here, though, is you had a program that people embraced because it's a big-time winning program. Sometimes we gloss over the fact that South Carolina played not just in four College World Series, but four national championship games during the Ray Tanner era. You know, you go back and you think about...
In 10 years, basically.
In 10
years,
I mean...
2002 to 2012.
South Carolina baseball is... I don't want to put them say they're the equivalent to Alabama football, Kentucky basketball, but they're not far behind. And so when you see that type, people embrace that and they love that, and it's something to be proud of. And we've been a part, we've had the parades down Main Street here for the national championship games. And so people, I think Florida football... kind of takes the front seat to that. Basketball, maybe to a lesser extent. They won two championships. But baseball there doesn't matter. But the bottom line is, I think for Mark Kingston, you hear that, and I like him. I pull for him. But I think it's still, for him, it's new dealing with the media. Going into, I would love to know, and maybe catch Mark Kingston off air and just go, when you had to do a post-game press conference at South Florida, I'm guessing it was on the field, and maybe there was two or three people around. You know, here you go into a post-game press conference, and there's, what, six or seven, 10? 12, maybe some television stations. I mean,
depends on the series. Depends on the game.
It's a different environment for. We talk about the players coming to this environment, but it's a different environment for coaches as well.
Oh, Ray Tanner, bumped into him on the way out of a press conference recently, and he mentioned back in the 2010 College World Series final in a press conference, UCLA and South Carolina, there were 30. Members of the media from the state of South Carolina, and there were like 35 people in the room.
Yeah.
The scrutiny is, if not unprecedented, it's pretty close. You're right. LSU, Arkansas, maybe. Those are similar type programs. Texas and Austin, maybe not so much recently, but I remember when Carolina played them for a national championship in 2002, and then a couple of years later, I think both of them were still involved in the College World Series. That's a college baseball program that maybe compares to some degree, but probably still not to the large degree that South Carolina gets the interest. I'm interested to see if this series can change any opinions about this year's team, because it is Tennessee, and Tennessee's been the doormat, the basement of SEC East baseball recently. You're not going to help me out there with a cough at all.
You caught me so off guard. I was like, are we going to break? What was that? Sorry about that. Tennessee's been down for a long time. We'll see. Again, I think South Carolina's got to focus. I see what you're saying. I guess you and I, we've talked more focused on South Carolina and what they've got to do to get out of this 10 series losing streak. and how this program can get back. And I don't know if it – because when South Carolina has all the capabilities, they have all the resources to be an elite program. There's not – I think in football you look at it and you go, all right, as good as we could get, it's still going to be ultra tough to climb over Georgia and to climb over – say a Florida, even when they're down, or an Alabama, it's going to be so tough.
Well, just from a number standpoint, right? The state of South Carolina is small, and while really good in high school football, it does not compare to the other states,
right?
Florida, Texas.
But in baseball, it's the other way.
Right.
Like, you kind of look at Florida right now, and you go, okay, they're down a little bit, but man, you know they're going to come back at some point. It's a matter of getting the right guy in the spot. I feel like baseball fans, feel the same way about South Carolina. They look at it, and Mark Kingston kind of alluded to that on Tuesday night after the Davidson win, said, well, we've won so much, people aren't sitting there feeling bad for us right now. I think there's people in the SEC going, yeah, we see South Carolina right now, and they're scuffling a little bit, and okay, they're 14 and I think what, 15 and 11, but you know they're going to come back. It's just a matter of time. It's kind of like I watch Florida football, and you're going, it's just a matter of time before Florida is back to being a national title contender. It's a matter of when. And so I think for other programs, you look at a Tennessee, you go, well, okay, well, even if we get good, I don't know if we ever really will climb over South Carolina.
Well, the built-in advantages in South Carolina, you feel like you got the palmetto trees there at Founders Park, mm-hmm. So you got weather, first of all. You got a bunch of good players in the state, and baseball is a game where you don't need as many numbers as you do in football, obviously, with, 11.7 scholarships versus 85. You can get a bunch of a dozen or so quality players can – help your program sustain success for years and years. And that's the one of the built-in advantages. Plus, the history at South Carolina baseball is close to unrivaled in the college baseball landscape as opposed to other sports and then versus other programs. So that's the situation Mark Kingston came into. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the crowds are at Founders Park moving forward now. I mentioned it earlier, Gamecock baseball for the first time in my following them for the last two decades in danger of getting kind of ignored here after that series sweep against Georgia. I think with a series win against Tennessee, you get back to close to 500 in SEC play. I think that I think there might be some fans out there that feel like they're encouraging mediocrity if they show up and the team just continues to lose. But if they win tonight, then I think that could start to change some opinion.
Is it similar to what we saw with the fan base for basketball this past season? Like, okay, they don't look like they're going to be very good this year, so probably not going to turn out. And then all of a sudden, beat Georgia, beat Kentucky. Hey, look, they're pretty good. Let's go to the Texas Tech game. Let's go to the Tennessee game. Let's go to something. Oh, now they're not as good. Oh, wait, beat Auburn? Yeah, everybody should. Is it one of those scenarios where, if South Carolina wins this weekend, that's what I'll kind of be fascinated to see where the fan base does go from here. Now, with what you just said, you wrap up this weekend, three of the next four are on the road. So you get the midweek games, which obviously are tougher to go to.
Yeah, but now you got better weather popping up here.
You're not going to get what does it hold over there, 12,000?
No, not quite that much, more like 8,500.
Okay, 85. You're not going to get 8,500.
Right, on a Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday or Wednesday night. But you can't, but you've only got, after this weekend, you've only got one series in the next four weekends that's in Columbia.
Yeah, and if Carolina starts winning a couple of those or largely staying competitive, I think then they keep people's interest for sure and you see much more support. But that starts with a series win, and that could happen tonight. 7:00 game time for Carolina in game number two against Tennessee. Cody Morris on the Hill tonight. Our coverage will start right here on 107.5 The Game at 6:45.
My personal opinion is I'm a pretty good shag dancer. Like that one. Yeah, it drew a look. But I'm pretty good at shagging. I took some lessons back in my 20s. The crowd there last night was kind of an older crowd. I was 35. I was kind of one of the younger ones there. I wasn't going to mess with some of those old people in the shagging.
Right.
I didn't want to.
They don't play.
I wasn't going out there with – I think I'm good. I think I've got some skills there, but I wasn't about to go out there and run the risk of being shown up. There was some people, and they had some moves last night, so that was a really good time.
That Bruno Mars, that little insight to your – in a little window into your life right there plays right into where I think you will go in Hollywood. I'll get to that in just a second. First, several other suggestions this morning. R.A. Lace says, Bill reminds me of the catcher from Sandlot. Not sure why. Okay, I think that's a compliment.
Was that the redheaded kid?
Yeah, lovable character.
Okay.
Don, hitting us up this morning, says Bill as the Penguin. Hashtag, and then Danny DeVito in there. I don't think that was necessary. Another entry. Bill is Vizzini, Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Inconceivable. Okay.
What?
Got me. Apparently that's a Princess Bride joke, and I'm glad we don't understand
Who
that.
Sent us that?
Long Cold Winters is the
okay.
Twitter handle.
All right.
Okay. David hit me up, says, got the perfect one for me, Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess that's better than the character in Liar Liar.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Maybe not that much better. Maybe better than The Mask. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll take that.
All right.
All right. So as I see Bill Gunter in Hollywood, we just heard the Bruno Mars. I can we'll add that in here somewhere. You know, you always got to have a musical montage, right? So this would be in the movie. I see Bill Gunter as a poor man's Kevin Hart. Did you see that coming?
Did you didn't see that coming? Poor man's Kevin Hart?
Like, yes, a poor man's Kevin Hart. Not as Kevin Hart. Come on now.
You could say in Kevin Hart style, like you could have said, I mean.
No, you gotta get a lot more successful in the stand-up scene before you can be compared to.
Poor man.
And
here's a compliment and here's the back of my hand. That's there you go.
Starring right. in the movie Gas Bag. We follow Bill's journey from failed high school hoopster to successful sports talk radio host with the inevitable midlife crisis of a hot take gone terribly wrong, only to rebound from suspension to success, ruling all radio.
Basically, what you just did was follow the Anchorman storyline there. Basically, I get fired / suspended, bounce back with a great story.
Ron Burgundy was never a high school hoopster.
We don't know. We don't know Ron Burgundy.
That was never part of
the
arc.
We don't know his past. All we know is his present.
I didn't even throw in it. There were no duels with fellow other radio hosts in this one. No,
it's true. I don't engage in the Twitter wars.
What do you think? Jen, you buying Bill Gunter as Kevin Hart?
Oh.
Ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see that.
Thank you.
This all
comes off.
You're pretty good at this.
Now wait a minute. Really why are we going Kevin Hart? Is it because both of us are packaged in fun sizes? Are in the fun size?
And or? I can also see you trying to talk your way onto a national championship situation, into a national championship situation, and then being told to move along and say, "No, sir, you're not allowed here." What was the Kevin Hart situation there recently? You don't remember he was trying to get his way onto. I want to say, it wasn't Alabama football, was it?
I don't think so. I didn't see that.
What would it have been? Oh, the Super Bowl. It was at the Super Bowl. You know, you didn't see that?
I didn't catch that.
This was probably at the tail end of your Super Bowl party, so you might not have been. Yeah, he tried to. I mean, he's been in several random places, and people are, like, watching it. Just like, is that Kevin Hart trying to get on there? And, like, he put out a statement the next day, the whole thing. That's all part of the process here.
Okay, yeah. That's what kind of I talked my way into that taste of Lake Murray.
Also, multi-talented. The Bruno Mars dancing scene, a long montage of your hot takes, like coming back from the fall. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can picture it now.
I did send you that video the other day of the character from, he's the Dewey something.
Dewey Cox?
He's the Mountain Dew. He's supposed to be like taking over Dale Jr.'s role. And, you know, it's kind of a comedic thing, but he definitely has a lot of hot takes and tries to talk his way out of all kinds of things. And that resonated. That was you. Completely.
Well, the Eastbound and Down character was pretty close to what you did as well.
Not real sure what just happened there.
That pretty much sums up today's
Gift
program.
Of Gab. Gift of-